Point is a presentation of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know, we can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal. Let's go!
And welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen for a marvelous Monday, albeit a bit maybe severe later on this afternoon. If and when the severe weather coverage, of course, does hit, we've got you covered right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen and any of your Hub City Radio family of stations. Let's not hope that's the case here today, but yeah, that's what we're leading with today is the weather. Welcome on in to the show on this Monday installment of it. We've got John Micheletti, the head coach of the Mount Marty University Lancers. He'll be joining us here in the next 15 minutes. Then, of course, towards the bottom of the hour, Mike Stearns. He'll be joining us as well to talk about the Andy Daly Memorial. Looking forward to that here today, and that'll be coming up towards the bottom of the hour. By the way, severe weather coverage, if and when it does hit, it is courtesy of Kurtz Motorsports, Dakota Doors, EXP Realty, Tiffany Paul, and All Over Roofing. I've fulfilled my legal obligations and what have you there. David Tewksbury along for the ride with the Cobra. Matt McClure, happy Monday, sir. How are things?
Doing all right. How are you doing today?
Not too shabby. Tewksbury household gets hot water today.
There you go.
So it's a big day.
That is a big day. How's the cold showers been treating you?
I've been doing baths. Yeah, I don't understand how anybody enjoys a bath. I don't get it. You're sitting there in a pool of your own filth.
Yes.
I don't get it. But we've been boiling the hot water on the stove.
Okay.
And by we, I mean I. My wife still, she's gutting it out.
You know,
she's like, I'm doing the cold showers. I'm like, wow, good for you. But yeah, I've been doing the hot water. You boil it on
the stove.
On the stove. And then you just toss it all in the tub there, and then you mix that in with the cold water. You mix it all together, and the next thing you know, you got a bath. So
that's not bad.
It's not the worst thing in the world, but I'm looking forward to a nice hot shower tomorrow. I'll tell you what.
That's something I don't think I've heard. The boiling water into the bath. That's a first for me, I got to tell you.
It's the definition of roughing it. We've been roughing it at the Tewksbury household for sure. But sounds like the hot water heater guy is there right now, as a matter of fact. And sounds like I bought the wrong expansion tank, so that's good. Got that going for us. All good things there. But nevertheless, it's a Monday installment of the show. And I know it is kind of the doldrums right now. It's just basically baseball and golf, and I will tell you, Matt, yesterday I'm sitting down watching TV, and there's nothing wrong with golf on TV on Sunday. I really enjoy golf on TV. I know maybe that's me becoming an old man or something like that, but man, I'm ready for football back, to come back on Sunday afternoons, especially when you're sitting there in the dead of the summertime.
Yep.
And it's humid outside, the mosquitoes are biting, I'm thinking to myself, I cannot wait till it's mid-60s and it's September and football is back on TV on Sundays.
Yeah, it really hit over the 4th of July weekend for me as well. You're just sitting there, and listen, I can watch a ton of baseball. I did over the weekend, I'll be honest with you. I watched the Twins, I watched my Orioles, I watched the little Padres and whoever they were playing, the Rangers. I mean, I was all over the grid there with the baseball, but I'm sitting there and thinking to myself, dang it, you know, it would be really nice to have like week four of the NFL season right now. Really would.
Yeah, I'm down there in my basement there last night or a couple nights ago over the weekend. The girls are asleep. The wife's asleep. I'm watching old Cleveland Browns games from the 80s. Again, we're talking about that field and how terrible it was. I was quite wistful watching that. But, yeah, I'm ready for football season. I mean, mentally, I'm ready for football season. I still have a lot of work to get done before football season and what have you. But psychologically, I'm like, all right, let's have at it. Let's pick up the roses off the ice. Let's move on.
Yeah, high school season will be here before you know it. I mean, we're starting July. Ron Colley's schedule opens August 22nd. So that's coming up here before you know it. It's going to be right here.
And by the way, for what it's worth, the folks there at the SDHSAA website, they have switched over to the fall sports schedule. So they've made the move already. Why not everybody else?
Yeah, shout out to those guys. We talked about that off the air last week that they made the fall schedule change. And that's when you know we're getting a little bit closer when you see that on their website.
Getting a little closer indeed. All right, he is the Cobra. Let's go ahead and toss this thing skyward on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5 for the jump. John Micheletti, head coach for the Lancers of Mount Marty. He'll be joining us here in about 10 minutes' time. And then Mike Stearns towards the bottom of the hour. Did you have a nice 4th of July holiday there a little bit? Did you watch the Nathan's hot dog eating contest?
I missed that. I saw the goat is back, though.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize he took a year off last year. Did you know that?
Yeah, there was some sort of beef, for lack of a better term, no pun intended, between him and like some vegan company or something like that. But yeah, Joey Chestnut downing 70 and a half hot dogs there on Friday. Very, very aggressive. I definitely had a couple hot dogs over the weekend as well on the grill there. Very, very tasty, but nowhere near 70 and a half.
Well, when you looked at what second place had, I think it was 46 and a half. So a little bit of disparity between Joey Chestnut and the rest of the field. It's like, hey, when the guy's not there, it's probably a little bit closer than when he's there.
Yeah, it's basically Joey and then the rest of everybody else. And if this were Moneyball, you'd say,
yes,
you know what I'm going to say, but I can't say that on the air. I think that's an FCC violation or something like that. But, yeah, definitely watching people gorge themselves on hot dogs with the water, that's not good TV for me. That's not appetizing. I can't watch that.
They asked Joey, too, what he does. I was watching an interview, what he does, like, after that. And he said, yeah, well, I got an hour car ride home. I'm like, an hour car ride home, that would be terrible.
Sounds
after
brutal.
70 and a half hot dogs. Then he just kind of chills and lets everybody else grill out. He's not ready to eat 4th of July after that. I don't know how you have an appetite after that. And B, does he eat any hot dogs until the 4th of July every year? Like every 365, is he just wolfing down 70 hot dogs? Does he eat them once a year? You got to train for something like that, right?
Yeah, I would think so. And, you know, people ask about the aftermath of that. That's the definition of don't ask questions you don't want the answers to. You know, nobody wants to see what the aftermath or hear about the aftermath of that. But, yeah, I'm with you. You know, maybe he's just a guy that on a regular barbecue in the middle of August, he has like one or two, no big deal. But you have to kind of build yourself up to that in some way, shape, or means, don't you?
I think so. And it's just crazy to see the results, and he's got 70, and second place is 45. Not even in competition. He apologized, too. He said, yeah, I didn't eat enough.
Oh, gee, yeah.
He said he was trying to break the record. I think his record's personal best is 76.
Mm-hmm.
Insane.
Get at it next year, that's for sure. Hey, speaking of the 4th of July, I thought this was a really, really cool thing. So Donald Trump was doing some sort of speech. President Donald Trump announced the launch of the Patriot Games. Did you see this?
I did not.
This is interesting to me. A national sporting competition for the top high school athletes from all 50 states as part of the kickoff celebration for the United States 250th anniversary, which of course is next year. The announcement took place on Thursday at the Iowa State Fairgrounds in Des Moines, where Trump addressed supporters and detailed the event as a highlight of the upcoming festivities. The games are set to be nationally televised and intend to show off the best of American skill, sportsmanship, and competitive spirit. So I think that's a pretty cool thing. 250 years of America, you got the best high school athletes. You don't have to worry about a transfer portal. You don't have to worry about millions of dollars, you know, watering down the competition. These are student athletes that just want to compete for love of the insert sport here. That's pretty cool. I'm all in for that.
Did he name the sports that they could be competing?
See, that's just it. I'm wondering what that would be. My guess is this is kind of like a track and field thing. You know, you got the best shot putters, the best distance runners, and that sort of thing. I couldn't find any more information on it, but just that the games are coming up next year. So I'd be very curious to see what that looks like.
I totally would watch that too, by the way. I think that would be really cool, having the best athletes from all 50 states. How about like a, maybe they do something like a flag football, something like that. Mm-hmm. I think that could work out.
I think you could do a lot of stuff. There's a lot of time between now and then, but I'm telling you what, that's definitely going to be must-see TV for yours truly, and it sounds like you're all in there too. I've said it before on the air, so I'm not breaking any news. High school athletics is the most pure form of sport. You know, it's just for the love of the game. And,
no doubt.
And, you know, you got your high school guys out there and gals that are just competing all in for their family, their school, their community. College, it's a little bit different, especially with name, image, and likeness. Pros is, I don't know, it's kind of watered down as well. Millions and millions and millions of endorsement deals and this, that, and the third. So I'm all in for the high school athletics out there.
I think it'll be fantastic. And, yeah, I think that's a great idea, and we'll see what happens with it. We got to keep an eye on that, see if they announce any games in the coming months or weeks or whatever with that.
We'll keep our eyes to that for sure. Also announced earlier on this last week, the Home Run Derby. Of course, that's coming up here in the not-too-distant future. Atlanta's Ronald Acuna Jr., Seattle's Cal Raleigh, of course, big dumper there, and Washington's James Wood. They all have a chance to put the ball into the seats there as well. And I quote tweeted this the other day, and I said, this is one thing that's different between Major League Baseball and the NBA. In Major League Baseball, you get guys that have been hitting moonshots all season long. In the NBA, the slam dunk contest features a bunch of nobodies you've never even heard of, rather than the stars that just can't be bothered to compete.
Yeah.
And baseball, you got the guys that are competing out there every single day. Every day that ends in a Y, they're out there hitting dingers. NBA comes around, here's some dude from the G League.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And the guy that's been winning the dunk contest has been a G Leaguer the last 3 years, Mac McClung.
Yeah.
He can't even sniff the court on an NBA team, but he's a great dunker. I mean, I'll give him credit. But to your point, that's why the All-Star game in Major League Baseball is the best out of all the four major sports, because you get guys that have been dominating throughout the year playing in that Home Run Derby. Plus, I think the All-Star game it's lost a little bit of its fire than it used to have, but still, I mean, guys are throwing gas 95, 98 miles there. You can't go through the motions with that when you're pitching and hitting. So that's why I think MLB baseball, they got the All-Star game down really well. The other leagues need to follow suit of what they're doing.
I think it's baseball. Hockey is just a little bit below that. It's like 1 and 1A, and then the rest.
Yep.
Football is unwatchable.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, that's not even a game. And the NBA is like a big dunk contest basically for like 44 minutes, and then they start playing defense in the final couple.
Yeah, and what cracks me up about the NBA All-Star game is, like, we talked about this during the finals. They're more worried about what's going on there than putting logos on the court for the actual NBA Finals. Cracks me up.
Unbelievable stuff. So looking forward to that here in the not-too-distant future as it pertains to the Home Run Derby and the All-Star game in and of itself.
Is there only three for the Home Run Derby right now?
There's probably more, but that's just the tweet that I saw. I guarantee you there's got to be more than just three guys, but those are probably the three main headliners would be my guess.
Yeah, Cal Raleigh, man, he's awesome. He really is.
He's north of 30 home runs right now, isn't he?
Yeah, switch hitting catcher. I mean, if I was a Seattle Mariners fan, he'd be by far my favorite player. I already am a big fan of his.
Let's see, 35 home runs right now, 74 runs driven in. That's like a season for some people. We haven't even reached the All-Star break yet.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, is this just like a one-off, random, unbelievable year, or is this going to be the start of something great with Cal Raleigh? Because I don't remember him having years like this previous. So is this the start of something great, or is this just one-off year? We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, what he's doing is special right now. It's making Mariners baseball must-watch television.
He's already got a career high. 35 home runs, hit 34 last year and 100 ribbies. So he's on pace to just completely shatter that runs batted in tally, as well as obviously the home runs there too. Coming up next, John Micheletti, head coach of the Lancers. He'll be joining us next on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial. A very happy 4th of July to you and yours. We're back in studio here following our 4th of July holiday with the hot dogs and the brats and all that good stuff. Fraps and brats over the weekend?
No brats. Dogs and burgers for yours truly.
All right. Nothing wrong with that. That's nothing wrong with that at all. Head coach of the Lancers of Mount Marty is John Micheletti. He joins us on the phone line. Coach, what was your 4th of July menu there a little bit? Burgers, dogs, brats, all of the above?
Yeah, I think all of the above. We had, I think down at Hy-Vee, they have some of these skinless brats. I can't get enough of those. You know, I don't know what it is about taking the skin off. They're amazing, though. So,
are you a cheddar brat guy as well? I'm a big fan of those.
I do like them. I like a little jalapeno in there, too.
Okay.
Can't go wrong. I was a little standoffish about trying. They have these pineapple ones, and I like pineapple. I know everybody's got their thing, the pineapples on pizza, but I got ones for the kids, and I'm trying them. Not too bad.
Interesting. Got skinless brats and the pineapple ones. I don't know. It's
crazy down here in Yankton, you know?
I was going to say, I mean, we got Salty, my golden retriever down in Yankton, so it holds a special place in my heart for sure. But I'll just talk about pineapple and brats. I don't know about it. But
do you like pineapple on pizza then, Coach? Or?
I do. I'm one of the weird ones that do. I'll do the ham or Canadian bacon and then and pineapple.
Okay.
All right, this conversation's over. Coach, you've been great. No, I'm not a pineapple on pizza guy, but I'll eat it because it has calories. It goes in my face. I don't discriminate.
No.
But, Coach, I tell you what, you know, this last year, a really solid year for the squad. Just getting this program off the ground here not that long ago and finally getting above 500, that's an incredible mark for you guys. I know it's not a playoff spot, but just taking that next step forward, that's got to put a smile on your face.
Yeah, definitely. You know, you're looking at how far we've come. It's crazy that it's, 4 years have gone by so fast. And but no, definitely some reassurance that, you know, we're doing the right things and we're finding the right people. You know, I got an excellent staff that does a great job recruiting and finding the right players that are going to continuously help build the mountain to something special. So, I can't say enough nice things about the staff I have.
And when you have a year like that last year, Coach, my guess is the expectation coming into the next year changes, right? I mean, you have some success and you want to build off of the year you had prior.
Yeah, I think, you know, reflecting on the overall part of the year, obviously there was some, like I said, some positive reassurance, but the way we ended last year with a last-second loss, to an opponent in Doan, and that left a bad taste in our mouth, which let us know that, you know, it's awesome as reflecting on how awesome it is reflecting on what we've done to get here, that, you know, we still have some ways to go and that we have to be able to control the controllables moving forward. And you know, you can't be spend too much time, you know, celebrating and all that stuff. We got to make sure that we're, you know, getting right back to work and able to get after to improve on this next year. You know, they're as close as we were to winning a couple more. We were a couple more that we barely snuck out. So we're in a good spot, and that's the GPAC, obviously, very competitive GPAC. But, you know, you can't spend too much time thinking about that. You got to continuously move forward.
Well, that's just it. The GPAC is such a bear. I think it's probably very, very close to the top, or not, if not at the top, in terms of college football at the NAIA level. I mean, there are no weeks off. There are no games off. I mean, you look up and down the schedule, it's just like, oh, my gosh, how are we going to win this game? Then, obviously, you find a way to get the job done. But what's it like competing every Saturday in a conference like this? Because it is probably, in my opinion, the best.
Yeah, no, I agree, and obviously I'm probably a little bit biased saying that, but it allows you to be able to bring your best. You only get 11 Saturdays in the regular season to be able to make the most out of them. So I reflect and actually talk a lot about my playing days with some of the guys. And there was a game that, you know, we went in, it was against McKendree out of Illinois when I played at St. Ambrose, and they were having a very down year. It was one of those where you just knew walking in, like, you know, we could play this game with our eyes closed and be able to come out on top. And it was one of those games, like, I wasted a Saturday. I didn't remember much of the game. It was just kind of just being there, and never wanted to go through that again. So, you know, luxury of having that here, and then the GPAC, you can't do that. You know, you have to make sure that you're able to bring it each and every week, you know, which allows overall, you're teaching good habits to make these guys great men one day, you know, because when you're being a husband or a father, you can't just be like, it's the day after the 4th of July. I'm going to sleep in today and take the day off and do all that stuff. No, you got to make sure that you're able to get right back to it and be the best husband, father, and community member that you could be. So I think the GPAC raises a bunch of good men.
For sure. And to piggyback off of Tukes' question, can you talk about just the preparation, right? You're playing a tough league each and every week. You got to be prepared each week, you know, whether it's during the off season, and then when you get into the season, you know, you got to look at it, you know, as much as it's coach speak, but you got to look at it one game at a time when you're playing in a league like that. You can't overlook anybody in the league.
No doubt. And you've seen a lot of that when I was heading into this league. You know, the year that we had off, you know, I was able to just kind of sit there and observe the league and, you know, the big heads of Morningside and Northwestern. And you have people that would overlook the opponent before or after, you know, like whether they, we played Morningside great, better than we thought, you know, and then the next week you lay an egg, you know, because you were too excited about that week before. Or, we have Morningside or Northwestern in 2 weeks, we'll overlook Doan or Briarcliff or something like that, and then they'll sneak up and bite you, you know. So it's one of those that you got to make sure that you're able to stay focused each week. There's some great coaches in the league, which I think allows for such a great competitive conference overall.
John Micheletti joining us here, Fox Sports Aberdeen Golden Domer head coach there at Mount Marty. And Matt said to me off the air before we jumped on, what do you know about Clark University? I said, not much. You know, I know a couple of their coaches from some of the lesser-known sports, like a golf coach or something like that back in the day. But, you know, that's typically not a team that's on the schedule too often. How did that whole thing kind of come to be for your non-con game there?
Well, yeah, when you're looking at non-conference games, really it's the Heart or the North, or the Old North Star, I should say, the Frontier. But being able to find those teams where, you know, the smaller school budgets, you don't have a lot of time to be able to travel to California or Florida to find that non-con game. So trying to find one within quick driving distance. When we finished our contract with Culver Stockton, you know, being able to find Clark, which was in a very similar boat, you know, like they are a year older than us of having a program. So I know that was one thing that Coach Hicks and I were kind of talking about when we both had an opening to be able to play each other. Just to kind of measure out where both of our teams are at with building the program up. So that's mainly kind of what started the whole thing of just, hey, two new teams that want to play each other. And I think it's always good to be able to get another non-conference game in, because when you're looking at overall playoff rankings and things like that, and you know, like you said, the GPAC is one of the tougher conferences, if not the toughest. Well, in order to do that, we have to be able to play them other conferences throughout the year, and it's not only just playoffs. You got to be able to match up some of the other teams as well. So as many times as I'm able to, I'm going to make sure that I fill and get a full schedule. I think that's exactly what these kids deserve on the team, and just another opportunity to go prove themselves, exactly what Lancer football is all about.
Looking back last year, I was just going through the schedule and the results. You had 5 one-score games last year. You played in a lot of tight games. What's that like from a coach's perspective, being the head coach and those tight games where it's coming down to the wire? Because you guys certainly were no stranger to the end of the fourth quarter last season.
Yeah, it definitely makes you lose a little hair, that's for sure. But it's good. Obviously, those are the moments that we practice the most. You know, there's not too many times you're going in practice where you're like, all right, we're up 40. How are we going to handle this? All right, we're down 28. How do we, you know, like a lot of those are those close games that we're able to practice against. So, you know, being able to handle the highs the right way, the lows, you know, the adversity that comes throughout the game, being able to handle that the right way. And I thought such a great job by the GPAC last year of allowing us to be able to use sideline technology of having tablets and things like that, and being able to throw a red flag and challenge plays. It just allows for a better product out there. And sure, it might slow down the game a hair and things like that, but overall, I think, it puts a better product on the field and more entertainment for everybody, and gives the athletes competing in it a better reassurance that, you know, that was the right thing. Even though we didn't end up on the right side, at least it was a fair game, and, you know, it's on to the next game. So it's like I said, that's the stuff that motivates us for this offseason with those close games. And it's not just the one to Doan that we lost. It's the one we snuck out against Dakota Westland. It's the one we snuck out against Midland. You know, it's multiple games. It's the one we lost at the very end to Concordia. So, you know, it's like I said, it's reassurance overall, but it's good. It's a good confidence booster, but also a little locker room wall art to keep you guys motivated for this upcoming season.
Yeah, it's amazing how far the NAIA has come with technology to have that sort of thing. I'm kind of shaking my head over here because there were a couple times in some NSIC games last year where there's challenges, and it's pretty clear and cut and dry that they're going to overturn this, and then they didn't. So
right. Yeah.
It's just kind of one of those things where, do we have a good camera angle on that one? It sounds like you guys are doing a nice job down there. And I guess final one before we get you out of here, one more with John Micheletti, head coach of the Mount Marty Lancers on Fox Sports Aberdeen, a hometown kiddo at quarterback there with Rugby Riken. What are your expectations for him? How does he take the next step forward? And kind of a two-parter to kind of wrap things up. Crane Youngworth Field, Matt was saying he was down there this last year, maybe 2 years ago. It's a beautiful facility. Is there conversation to get a new stadium built? I thought I saw that somewhere on campus or something like that. Or is that, am I off base in that?
We have our practice facility, and I know that's one thing that they've talked about is adding on to that and making that into some sort of stadium. I don't think that it'll end up being, you know, a football stadium. It might be something that they just allow the soccers and things like that to be able to play on, because I don't think it's going to be able to seat too many people. And honestly, Crane does a great job of, having enough seats for all of our the fans. We've been having the luxury of being, you know, the number one attendance in the GPAC of 3 out of the first 4 years. So Yankton loves its football, and that's one thing also the GPAC does a good job of traveling to the game. So with everybody being somewhat close, that you know, the away team does a good job of making sure that they support the team. But getting back to the first part of the question about rugby, and we expect him to, you know, take those steps that he needs to in the second year of being a quarterback. I know he's going into his junior year of being a student here because we redshirted him his first year. Hopefully that kind of alleviates from some of the sophomore slump type things that you might see, but he's definitely growing physically, mentally, all that stuff to be able to take those strides. And we got to make sure that we constantly bring in guys to compete with him. You know, I think that's the best way to be able to get the best out of somebody, is if they feel like I got to compete for my job, and, you know, continuously making sure that they have the resources that they feel confident to accomplish their job. So having the right O-linemen and running backs and receivers all around them. But overall, you know, our values are trust, commitment, and love. So we got to make sure that we're able to build all those up to have the better end product in the end. So it's nice having a local guy around, because he's literally always around, whether if he's not playing another sport, that is. But he's definitely as competitive as a kid that I've coached, and I think he's willing to take on the task.
Well, countdown to kickoff is on. 54 days, 2 hours, 33 minutes, and now 8 seconds, but who's counting? Looking forward to that coming up here against Clark on August the 30th there in Dubuque. Coach, appreciate you doing this, and good luck this season. We'll talk to you later on down the road.
I appreciate it. Go Lancers.
All right, thanks so much. Head coach John Micheletti, head coach of those Lancers of Mount Marty here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. He's done a great job with that program, and I tell you what, you're building a program literally from scratch, and now to just a couple of years later, they're above 500 at 6-5. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it certainly is. They had a big step forward next year, or this past year, and now the goal changes, I feel like, going into this year. What can we build off of last year? He mentioned the sour taste, how the end of the year last year ended. And I was looking at their schedule, too, so you'll appreciate this because we've talked about this in the past. They got a Catholic Cup game.
That's right.
Versus Briar Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we talk about trophies, game trophies. That I saw that, I immediately thought, that's pretty cool.
Well, there was a Catholic Cup first, and then the school closed, Presentation College. That's the way it was. It was kind of a non-con game to start the season. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, we got this cool Catholic Cup thing, and then like 10 minutes later, they're like, oh, well, PC's actually going to be closing. So kind of a bummer. But
okay,
they won the first one, Mount Marty did, against Presentation back in I think it was 2021, if memory serves correctly. That was their first ever win as an NAIA football program. So
sure.
Congratulations to them. By the way, I was looking it up, and if last year is any indication, this could be a good start to their season. Clark last year, not so hot, 1-10. Only 1-10 there for them last year. Now, again, that's just last year's team. Maybe they're a completely different revamp program, but I saw an 89-0 in there against Grandview.
Jeez.
That's not great.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing about that is you're catching them first game of the season.
Right.
You're not catching them week 8 when they've been struggling, if they would be struggling. So that's going to be a tough game because you just don't know.
Correct.
From year to year.
And also, it's the, like you mentioned, it's not only the first game. It's like, hey, we were really bad last year. Let's get that bad taste out of our mouth immediately there week 1. So looking forward to that for the Lancers of Mount Marty. Coming up next, we're talking a little Brown County Speedway as Mike Stern still join us live in studio after this. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Our thanks to John Micheletti for joining us on FSA. He is Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury, and he is Mike Stearns. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's our pleasure, for sure. Have a nice 4th of July. We talked about that a little bit off the air. Did you eat 70 and a half hot dogs like Joey Chestnut did?
Nope. Skip that part. Mine was pretty lax, actually, other than working on some stuff for this event we got coming up. So it was pretty low-key, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we had our last guest on. He was talking about, what was it, the skinless brats?
Skinless brats, and then he was thinking about pineapple brats.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know about that. A little different. A little different for sure. All right. So coming up this Friday is a very, very near and dear one to your heart and a lot of racers' hearts, certainly here in Aberdeen. It's the Andy Memorial Classic. Can you tell us a little bit about it and who the kind of gentleman that Andy was back in the day and just the importance of this one?
Yeah, absolutely. It's Andy and his brother Mike have always been involved with my racing. I raced against Andy, I guess, prior to that. And then once Andy decided that he was too busy to drive, he asked me to drive his car for a year, so I did that, drove his super stock for a year, and then after that, him and his brother Michael have always helped on the racing stuff, you know, in a big way, own a car or whatever. So, yeah, just a great family, the whole Daly family is, and it was a pretty tragic loss, obviously, you know, very young, and other than what he had going on, just a healthy guy, and just yeah, just a bad deal. So it's cool to, you know, it sucks that he's gone, but it's cool to keep his memory alive. So we really enjoy putting on this race and trying to make it bigger and better every year, of course. And so we've got a lot of sponsors that have helped out with that, and we've been able to make it better. So this year will be the best it's been, and hopefully next year will be better than that.
So when did you kind of get started with this memorial race then?
This is what they consider actually the second annual. The first year wasn't, I guess, organized or official or whatever, so it would actually probably, it would be the third year since its passing. And the second year, Titan wanted to do something because Andy was an employee at Titan, and so they sponsored a night at Brown County Speedway, and they wanted to make it the Andy Daly Memorial Race. So it became official, I guess it would have been last year. So this will be the second annual officially. Mark Ablin had won both the previous races, so the 2 years after he had passed away. So, but yeah, this will be the official second annual, I guess. And yeah, we're looking forward to it. There's a lot of good things. It's 3,012 to win the super stocks, which is awesome. They have upped the pay in the late models thanks to some late model sponsors. A buddy, Denver Nickerson, went out and got sponsorship for that to up the pace. So the late models are racing for 2012 on Saturday night. That's all thanks to Olsen Custom Farms, Grote Sheet Metal, KBS Power, Smith Hay Grinding, Nickerson Harvesting, and RBL Designs, Russ Beetle. So those guys helped out the late model pay, and certainly appreciate that. The track stepped up and, you know, upped the pay, obviously, with the super stocks and the modifieds, and then brought in the INEX Legends for this weekend, and I think they're racing for 1,200 or something to win, so they've got really good payout for them as well. So overall, just turning out to be an awesome event, and that's our goal.
And when you have an event like this, Mike, it's a total team effort, correct? I mean, you got to have a team to put something like this together, right?
Yeah, absolutely. yeah, I'm certainly glad I'm not the only one doing it, because it's a lot of work as is, you know, and the track has stuck their neck out. I mean, they got a big payout and, you know, in quite a few classes, and that's a big deal, you know. It's when it comes down to it, you know, you look at the win pay and it's 2 for this and 3 for that and 1,200 for that and 1,000 for that, you know, and it's like, oh, it doesn't seem so bad, but then you got to pay the whole field, you know. So it's a huge pay, and the track has definitely taken some risk here, so definitely appreciate that, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure that it's successful and that we can continue to do it. But yeah, we've got a ton of sponsors that helped out, and I should probably just name them real quick, just because without them we wouldn't be able to make it happen. So Cropland, Marotes Painting, Core Trust Bank, Winburn Trucking, Mad Racing, Mark Ablin Farms, Red River Construction, Stearns Farm, TJ Harder, Daily Corner Farms, Doug Daly Farms, Blue Flog Realty, which is Chas Michelson in Jamestown, Dakota Tree Company, Olive Chick Boutique, V-Effect, DRT Chassis, BuyRayShirts.com, and Dirt Track Supply out of Watertown. And all those guys are the ones that made it happen. And it's a lot, and we appreciate every one of them. BuyRayShirts.com is a business owned by late mile driver Jordan Tullickson out of Montevideo, Minnesota, and they have an online store deal that they offer. And so we had Andy Daly Memorial Apparel made, and it went over awesome. And he was very good to deal with. He's making sure that we got everything when we needed it, and giving us some kickbacks on all the stuff sold. We were able to buy some more apparel that'll be for sale. We'll have apparel and diecast for sale underneath the grandstands on Friday and Saturday night until supplies are gone. And yeah, just appreciate everybody that's helped.
Very, very grassroots event, of course, coming up here, like you mentioned, on Friday. Mike Stearns in the studio. You can check him out there on Facebook as well, at Stearns Motorsports. Your first full year in the late models this year. How's that going so far for you?
Yeah, it's been going good. It was actually almost exactly this time last year we got the late models. So it was July 4th weekend. We went and picked it up, and I want to say the first night we were going to race rained out. So that would have been Aberdeen, I think, And so, yeah, this is the same time we got it last year. You know, it's a learning curve. It's a whole different ball game. I've been in the mod for a long time, and I wasn't probably prepared for it, you know. So I didn't expect it to be easy by any means, but it's a whole different beast compared to the modified. And I think the end of May here, we picked up our first feature win in it in Aberdeen. We started 9th and was able to win, so that was pretty cool. And definitely was a goal. You know, one of our goals was to get a feature win, and we've been running the top 5 quite often, so I'm pretty happy with it. It's been fun.
Why the late models, and or how did that kind of come to be? Was it you just want something different, or did something happen there, or what?
Well, that's the next step. You know, we're in a modified, and the next step up is a late model. And Brian Deedy and Warner Holt from Orient, South Dakota, owned it, and Deedy's busy with the shock business, just didn't have time to race like he wanted to, so he didn't think it was fair for the car to be sitting around all the time. So he actually, Warner actually bought his half out and asked me if I'd be willing to drive it, and talked it over with the crew, and they were willing to take on the extra work and, you know, workload. And it's a tough deal. One car is tough to keep up and be serious and be competitive and really make sure everything's ready. And then when you get to, you know, it probably more than doubles the load. So appreciate all the help I got on the car, and you know, the Peterson family, Corey and his kids, they helped me a ton. And Bill Burt and Mike Daly, of course, like I mentioned earlier, and then my wife, I guess, for going along with all the crazy ideas too. You know, there's a lot of sacrifices there that a lot of people don't think about, and whether it's every night of the week being at the shop or whatnot. So appreciate everybody that's been behind me for a long time and making things happen. And it's a lot more than just driving a race car. You know, there's a lot to it. So
yeah, there's no two ways about it. It's the same thing with doctors and lawyers and everything else, broadcasting. It's the same thing as, like, there is so much that happens behind the scenes that people don't see. You know, people, they go to the racetrack on Friday, they're like, oh man, that Mike Stearns, how did he do it? And it's like, well, he names everybody else off that helps you out with that. So that's it's certainly a full team effort. Rusty was curious, are you running a super for the special this upcoming week?
We are not racing one this year. We'll do our double duty deal, and last year, Mark Ablin was gracious enough to let us run one of his cars and ran the, you know, Andy's old scheme and whatnot. So this year, Mark's actually going to wrap his car in in one of Andy's old schemes. So we'll still have the 12D on the track, and Mark's in a super stock right now. He's probably got a better shot at winning it than I do anyway, so that'd be pretty cool to see him put that in victory lane if he could pull it off for the second year in a row. So we'll be rooting for him.
I'm just curious, last one got rained out last week, and I'm just interested, how does your schedule change then? Are you looking for a place to race or something like that when something gets canceled due to rain? How does that all work?
Yeah, we always look ahead, obviously, and around the 4th, the schedules are all so different anyway, just because of the dates and the holiday and whatnot. So we had looked ahead and saw the forecast for Aberdeen, and it wasn't looking good, so then we looked at other tracks that were racing, and we were able to run up to Grand Forks on Wednesday night, which was kind of the perfect storm because the weather was still good. Felt like we went up there and got tore up or something like that. We had a day to get our stuff back together on Thursday, and so be fully prepared for Aberdeen on Friday. So we took advantage of that and ran up there, and we were able to win both heat races. Started sixth in the late mile and got third, and they got a pretty tough crowd up there, so we were super happy with that. Drew the 9 in the modified, which was kind of been our normal draw here lately, it seems like, and we were able to get up to 6th and had a little issues with the right front of the car. Hopefully it would have been better if it wasn't for that. So
what made the crowd tough? Was it just the heckling or
just the field driver?
Oh, the field driver. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
sounds good.
It's really good competition
that went
up there.
Right over my head.
I was going to ask the exact same thing, to be honest with you. I was like, oh, boy, that crowd must – were they throwing, like, Coors Light cans on the track? Or what are we doing?
Don't like the out-of-towners. Yeah, no, the field of cars we were racing against, it's pretty stout. Dustin Strand won. I don't think he's hardly lost a race up there this year. He's always tough no matter where he goes. And Tyler Peterson was second, and he's a national champion and standout. So, to – start 6th and pass 3 cars, get up 3rd was pretty cool. And there's cars that'll go there just to get a night in before the Sites Memorial race, because that's coming up here in August, and or September, I think, 1st September. But anyway, that's a huge event and pays $9,200 to win, and they get 60, 70 late models probably. So any chance people get to go there to get a night in a testing, they're there. So, there was definitely some extra cars because of that too. So I think they had 25 late models, so it was a good field.
Yeah, nice chunk of change, no question. As Mike Stearns joins us here in studio, maybe one or two more before we get you out of here. So Matt kind of already hit on it, but you try to pick up other races if something gets rained out or what have you. If you can't find a race, do you ever feel like you're kind of rusty the next time you get back out there, or is it just like riding a bike, you just pick it right back up where you left off?
Well, normally I would say, yeah, it's probably not that big a deal because you can race somewhere, but this year it's just been horrible with weather. So to be honest with you, like on a normal year, a rainout every once in a while is maybe a little bit of a relief, just time to work on your stuff a little bit, night off, do something else, whatever. Now, this year it's just getting annoying, It's like, yeah, I want to go race. So now we're looking at places. But, yeah, if somebody, from a different part of the country that's actually getting some racing in here is racing every week, yeah, they'd have an advantage for sure. I mean, they're working on their car every night, So they're I'd like to feel like every time you hit the track, you should be able to make it a little bit better, because you're learning. So yeah, the more rainouts and the scheduling around here has been kind of weird this year too. Like some of the nights when they could have raced, they were scheduled off, so then they didn't race, and then next week rains out. Well, pretty soon it's two, three weeks at a track for your race there, So yeah, it can definitely play into it. It's no doubt. And if you're chasing points every time you lose a show, it's just makes it that much harder,
And that's why you kind of grin, you said you started 9th, you've been starting 9th a lot. Are you kind of used to that? I mean, it probably isn't great when you're chasing points. Is that fair? Or?
Yeah, it's Wasota used to do a point inversion system, and so they qualify so many out of each heat race, and those qualified drivers would line up in the feature according to your points, but it was inverted. So we were used to starting 8th or 9th just because we were consistent enough that we were starting back there. But mm-hmm. The difference was then, the guy that was as consistent as you was starting beside you. Now they did the same qualifying, same amount of cars qualify, but they're doing a redraw. So you get a guy that's just fast and lucky. He's drawing the front row, and we're fast enough to qualify, but our draw is horrible. We're starting 4th row. Well, good luck trying to catch that guy if he's out front. You know, clean air is huge, and just no traffic and just gone, you know. So it, in my opinion, they have some work to do on their system. So they're qualifying too many cars is the biggest thing. And it makes it tough. I mean, it's if you win one of them features from eighth or ninth when you had a fast guy starting on the pole, you earned her. So
Mike Stearns here in studio on FSA. Again, this upcoming Friday is the Andy Daly Superstock Special and the NXS Legends there as well. Adult general admission tickets, $20. Students, that's kiddos, 13 to 15, $10. And senior general admission tickets, 65 and over, $17. Mike, anything else you want to hit on before we let you go here?
I just want to say thanks to all the sponsors. You know, we named them off, and it's a huge deal, you know, and it's a big commitment. And, you know, some of them businesses can probably benefit from a little exposure, and some of them are just doing it to help you out and the love of the sport and all that. And so we definitely want to say thanks to them. We want to say thanks to Brown County Speedway for putting their neck out there and taking a chance on a really big event. And I'd like to give a special thanks to Shelby Arment as well. She's done a bunch of artwork for checks and that kind of stuff that she sent it to me, and I was able to print it and put it on, you know, just to make things a little easier on my end, take a little heat off of everything that we got to get done. So she's been great. She's awesome on their social media, on their Facebook page. I mean, anybody that follows Brown County Speedway sees it. She does an amazing job, and she deserves all the thanks she can get. So just everybody that's helped out, the Daly family for, you know, supporting this, getting behind it. It's just, like I said, just something to keep the memory alive and try to make it bigger and better every year. So appreciate you guys for having us on and giving us some exposure as well. So
absolutely, it's our pleasure. And now Mother Nature has to do her thing. Hopefully Friday night, gorgeous, low 80s, and a nice breeze, and hopefully that four-letter R word can come back another day.
But yeah, they got the fireworks on Friday night too.
Oh, okay,
so,
sure.
Since they rained out on this last Friday, so you know, I said, as much as I hate to see cancellations, I love to see the fireworks on that night. You know, it just adds to the event. So you know, and that's a different crowd in the stands too. A lot of times for the fireworks, they get some people that aren't normally there. So you're gonna see fireworks, but you should get to see a heck of a show as well.
No doubt about it. Fireworks in the air and on the playing surface, if you will, on the racetrack. Yeah. Mike Stearns, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Likewise. Mike Stearns here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Looking forward to that this upcoming Friday at Brown County Speedway. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the old AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Would encourage you to smash that like button and share the stream. Certainly helps out with the algorithm, and we're talking about it with Mike off the air. Hopefully that rain can stay away, and yeah, they're going to do just about everything they can to get that one in on Friday.
Yeah, rain, stay away. We might need a... Does Lucy sing that song at all?
Absolutely. And she was singing it yesterday, too.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. It's like 82 degrees and sunny. She's in the house. Rain, go. Lucy, it's sunny. I think your singing did the job, but hey, she's two. We'll throw her a bone, but... Yeah, 1.87 inches of rain there on Friday, putting the kibosh on things. And
sheesh.
Yeah, that's the fourth rain out this year. That's just been tough luck.
Yeah, it's absolutely brutal. The rain just hasn't been kind. You said, you know, it's kind of tough to get momentum on the racetrack when you're not out there racing. It's hard.
I know it. Elsewhere, Minnesota Twins, they're off today, back in action tomorrow as they'll take on the Chicago Cubs, who just throttled the Cardinals yesterday 11-0. But looking forward to that. Smitty's are back in action tonight as well on the road, presented by Culver's.